plan that was already approved are at that point, and in the proposed plan, they all encroach a little bit closer because the density increases. So they all get a little bit closer to the wetland, with 79 touching the edge of the wetland, similar to what 78 does.
Not touching the wetland. Abutting visually, abutting.
Just getting very close.
The wetland. Not encroaching into the wetland. And then in phase five, you have the existing 2019 plan to the left, and then the proposed plan to the right. And the two setbacks that are changing and are worth noting are the setback from the units to the east property line goes from 431 feet to 412 feet. And then the setback from unit 96 goes from 42 feet down to 30 feet. What I would mention is that this development is vested under a previous code that did allow for a 30-foot setback, whereas our existing code would require at least a 60-foot setback. So they're still in compliance with the code that was in place at that time. And once again, the city has discretion on whether they approve the change, but it does demonstrate compliance with the code that they are vested under.
So the change in the setback from 431 to 412 is simply because pad or lot 94 is being increased by that amount?
It's becoming deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think as they get pushed down towards this cul-de-sac, they're getting a little bit narrower, but they're getting deeper. The cul-de-sac is pushing it a little bit further back.
Yeah, the other part of it is just staggering the setback. So as you can see, the driveway is a little bit different. They have to stagger the setback, plus the units are longer.
Okay.
Good question.
Yeah, it just seemed like a lot for just the pad wasn't changing enough to make that difference. So
so there's site specific adjustments and then building specific adjustments that went into that one. And then the other thing to note on this is that lot 91 in the previous master, the existing approved master plan does not have that rear deck semi-private area, and then the proposed plan, it's added in there as well. So two items that we wanted to catch as part of the master plan amendment were some improvements to some trails that are within or adjacent to the subdivision. This trail is on the south side of the subdivision. There's actually an existing trail that has been improved by the developer. It's a road-based trail that connects from the development down through Lot 3 in Swiss Paradise and then connects down to River Road. And one of the items that we were asking the developer and recommending that is part of the approval is that they end up going through and improving that trail. So this trail on 300 North is a 6-foot asphalt trail, currently it's just a road-based trail. And then as it goes and departs into the development along this lot here, there's a 20-foot easement, that it gets improved to a 10-foot asphalt trail with 5-foot shoulders on either side. And one of the secondary purposes of that trail is that it would also serve as an emergency access in the event that there was something happening and they needed to get equipment or people out of the subdivision. It would be wide enough to be able to have those vehicles pass through. So that was one of the conditions of approval that we had suggested. And the other was, phase one, there was a public trail easement that connected the public trail up to 600 North, adjacent to 200 East, where the trail will continue to head north to the Mountain Spa property. And what we had requested of the developer in condition of approval is that they provide the funds to improve that trail and contribute that to the general trail fund for the city, so that section of trail could be built in the future when the trail continues down 200 East. And so that was the other condition of approval that we had asked, is that those funds be contributed to the city. So one trail would actually be built, and the other would just have the funds contributed to the trail fund so that it could be constructed at a later point. And this shows that general alignment of that trail. size, creating an overall increase in building square footage and reduction in open space. The setbacks from the proposed building paths to two of the peripheral boundaries in phase 5 will decrease. Setbacks in phase 4 will remain the same. One public trail will be paved, and the funds for the construction of a second trail will be contributed to the general trails fund as part of the subdivision. And then both trails will benefit the members of the community. And then the last one, amending the master plan, is a discretionary, and the city is under no obligation to approve the proposal even if it complies with the land use code.
Is going back to findings, is that fourth finding specific to this request, or is that part of the original approval for the master plan?
So the fourth finding just really addresses some lingering trail issues that we'd like to have cleaned up.
It's new to this request.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the asking price for the master plan.
Okay.
It's new to this request.
Okay.
I can't argue with Paul on that comment. So.
Okay.
Proposed conditions. The applicant will be required to pave an existing trail along Swiss Paradise Lane or 6 feet in width. They will also be required to pave a 10-foot trail connecting the Swiss Paradise Lane Trail along the easement over Swiss Paradise Lot 3 and into the sidewalk at the end of the cul-de-sac in Phase 4 of Ringham Farms. So, a lot, say, that trail gets put in. Number two, the applicant will be required to contribute the funds associated with installing the 8-foot trail or asphalt trail from Farm Hill Lane to 200 East to the General Trails Fund. The funds will be used when the trail is completed in the future as part of a large improvement project. And I need to clarify, I listed in the presentation earlier that it would be a 10-foot trail up on the north side. In fact, we were only requesting an 8-foot trail. So I apologize for the confusion that may create. And then number three, the applicant will survey the boundaries of the wetlands. And this is one that was added in after the packets had gone out. That's why I put it in red. But the applicant will survey the boundaries of the wetlands and then install temporary construction fencing along those boundaries when the site improvements begin in both phases, as well as when homes are constructed in both phases, to help make sure that those wetlands are being protected. As mentioned in the staff report, condition three is really reflective of Wes saying that he is comfortable with the adjustments based on this fencing and survey.
Luke, I have a couple questions. So on the first two conditions, both of those are new to this proposed master plan amendment, right?
Correct.
And those will be public trails?
Correct.
Are there actual public trails that go all the way through Riemann Farms?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all of them are, but some are. Yeah. Some trails are public, some are private, but there are public.
Okay, and then these would both be for public trails. Maybe I already asked that.
Correct. Yes, both of them would be public trails.
Okay, and then on number three, related to the wetlands, and when you were talking about the 30-foot setback versus 60-foot setback, were you talking about the wetlands setback currently versus past, or?
No. So sorry, two different setbacks. So there's a requirement that the building units have to be set back from the periphery of the development. And that's the 30-foot previously, which this is vested under. Currently, if this were to be required, to have a 60-foot. And then in addition to that, there is a wetland setback in our land use code. And that's where it's suggested straight out of the gate, it's a 30-foot setback, but it does provide some discretion to the city engineer to be able to approve something less.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really described in the code as a 25-foot buffer is what it is around the edge of wetlands. And again, like Luke mentioned, it's not really a setback, it's a buffer area. It's something that the Army Corps of Engineers doesn't require. It's something the city has added, but again, there is some discretion on the city's part if we want to go that far or not. We're not violating any federal rule with that by any means.
Why increase the square footage of the buildings? I mean, I understand shifting some of these things, but why do that?
Can I answer?
Sure.
take you back to the first amendment that we did. So would you go to the where you do the side-by-side comparison? So when the master plan was first approved 4 years ago, most of the pads were 60 by 60. And then when Watts went in for their first round of building permits, realized that they had some problems with the overhangs. So then they came back for master plan amendment and even some plat amendments to now get the overhangs to work for the units. And that's when you started to see, instead of the boxes being 60 feet wide, they were 63 feet wide and also 68 feet deep to capture the front and back overhang. If we would have been a little smarter, we would have done the master plan amendment for all five phases instead of the first three. First three phases are now finished. To avoid the same problem, we're coming in for different, the same pad sizes that we've been using and adjusting these old 60 by 60 boxes in phase four and five. That's really what's happening.
Okay.
Any other questions for Paul while he's up? Okay. Seems fairly straightforward. Any other questions for staff? All right, let's have a motion.
I'll make a motion that we recommend to City Council master plan amendment for the Redmond Farms planned unit development. The proposal would revise the building pad size in phase four and five, matching the building sizes in phase one to three. We would accept the findings and conditions proposed by staff, including number three that we have learned about tonight.
And the different trail size in two. The trail width was also changed
to 8 feet.
In our packet, I think it's 10.
I'll second that.
Okay.
It's 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a motion to approve with conditions and a second. Any discussion? All right, let's start the voting with Rich. And then Craig?
Aye.
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 Okay, that motion is approved. Carries.
Thank you.
Item four, Berg Engineering, agent for Jared and Kurt Wilson Farm LLC, is requesting final approval for an 8-lot subdivision, standard subdivision to be known as the Farm at Wilson Lane subdivision. The subdivision is on 10.28 acres and is located at 1500 North Canyon View Road and is in the RA-143 zone. Luke, looks like you're up.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners and members of the public. As mentioned, this is final approval for the Farm and Wilson Lane. We've seen this numerous times in the last few months as they've been going through the approval process, so it should be pretty fresh for you guys. Property is located in the RA-143 zone. Proposed public cul-de-sac road would be built and constructed to provide frontage to these lots as part of the proposal, and they will be connected to the Midway Sanitation District sewer, Midway City's culinary water, and also the Midway Irrigation Company's secondary water line. This is the property. As mentioned in previous presentations, it's surrounded on all sides by developments. You've got the reserve to the north, Dutch Fields, Scotch to the west, and then the way to the south and east. This is a picture of the property in the southwest corner, currently being farmed.